Welcome to the call, everyone. This is Rufina James, and I would like to introduce Doctors Julian and Susan Lange, and they're going to be holding the call today, which is about ancient Chinese medicine secrets to healthy digestion. Lots of people have digestion problems, and Doctors Lange know an awful lot about it. So, Julian, let me just go ahead and turn it over to you.
My name is Dr. Julian Lange. I'm a doctor of oriental medicine and a licensed acupuncturist here in the state of California. I've been in practice for 25 years, and my question to all of you is, I'm wondering how many of you would like to be a whole lot healthier and experience a whole lot more health in your life? I'm suspecting quite a few.
I would think so. And how many of you would also like to slow down the aging process that is talked about so much?
I want to slow down the aging process.
So we suspect that a lot of you are asked these questions a lot by people in our practice. So this is why we decided we needed to put on some classes on how to have a healthy digestion, ancient Chinese secrets to a healthy digestion.
So, Susan, I've introduced myself. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Dr. Susan Lange.
Okay, and what we were asking was who wanted to be a lot healthier and who wanted to slow down the aging process, because if you do, then you are on the right call today. We would also like to thank Rufina, who is hosting this teleclass. She's had a lot of experience in alternative medicine and hosting classes and running her e-zine over the years, so we're very, very grateful to her. And tonight we're going to cover...
As Susan was saying, we're going to cover some of the basics of a healthy digestive system. We've got a lot of tips that we look forward to sharing with you all, and things that you can actually do for yourself in order to improve your digestive system, and by doing so, improving your health. One thing we just want to add at this point is this is something we're kind of obliged to do because of our government, but I just would like to say, and this is going to be read, that the information contained in this telephone conference, email, seminar, has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this information is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease. All material provided by us is for educational purposes only. That's educational purposes. And we always suggest that one seeks the advice of their physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions they may have regarding a medical condition or taking any diet, exercise, or other health program. So on that formal note, I'm going to pass the phone back to Susan.
That means, in very simple language, that we absolutely encourage you to find really good practitioners if you have any questions, especially things that have been bugging you for a while. Okay, and we are just giving you some tips and helping you to find different directions that you may be able to go to ask these questions. What we're going to do today is review a lot of the current holistic treatments for digestive issues, what we call conventional treatments in the holistic world. And then we're going to offer some other options if these treatments are no longer working for you. So some of you are very new to this, so some of the more basic treatments will be very effective for you. And others who've been doing it a long time and still have digestive problems, you might be interested to know that there actually still is help, that even if you don't have a healthy digestion, there are ways that you can heal it. Okay? And I'm wondering, and Julian and I talk a lot about this, but did you know that if you don't have a healthy digestion, that you could be wasting your time and money on Band-Aid treatments? And the Band-Aid treatments could be, you know, laxatives or digestive aids or treatments for all kinds of other issues, all kinds of other symptoms that could be easily resolved and actually often disappear if you take care of the basics. And the basics are getting your digestion really healthy. That is our number one step that we always recommend when patients come in. Also, one of the reasons we want to have this seminar today is because so many people, when they come in to see us, have a lot of questions, and it's too much for you to take in when you see us in person. So we're wanting you to be able to listen to this over and over again. We'll put it on the website so that you can take in what we're saying. And We are just wondering if it's okay with you if you tell us, if we tell us a little bit about ourselves. I hope it is. And we'd like to tell you why we consider that healing the digestion is the first step to any healing protocol. And I'm going to hand you over to Julian.
Part of my story is that when I was a child, my father, who was a physician, a medical doctor, he was quite disillusioned with the kind of medicine he'd been trained in, seeing that he was doing a lot of therapy with harsh pharmaceutical agents that he was getting limited results with, and that he wasn't actually succeeding in curing people so much as palliating and removing symptoms as long as they continued to use the medication. So fairly early on in his career, he was exposed to acupuncture, and consequently, that was the kind of medical treatment I received from my father as I was growing up. And I have to say that so far in my life, now approaching 50, I've had antibiotics 3 times in my whole life. But when I was 15, I came down with an acute appendicitis, and it was quite horrible. I was extremely sick. I was in a lot of pain. I was doubled over on the floor, unable to stand up because if I stood up from the pain, I started to feel faint and would pass out. And my father began to treat me with acupuncture. He did not rush me to the emergency room, and being a physician himself, he could take that kind of responsibility. And within a very short amount of time, 2 treatments in the space of, he was treating me 3 times a day. So 2 treatments in the first day, my symptoms began to improve, and by the end of the second day, I was pretty much myself. By the end of the third day, I was fine and back to being an active 15-year-old. So acupuncture is a powerful therapy for the digestive system and the gut, gastrointestinal system, from one end to the other. And I have to say that I still have my appendix and haven't had to have any abdominal surgery or surgery on my digestive tract thanks to acupuncture.
That's so great that you still have your appendix. Thank you. Thank you to your MD acupuncture father. And this is Susan again. And for me, the reason I even got into Chinese medicine was because when I was 20, I was at university in England, and I was feeling very adventurous. And I just happily hitchhiked off to India with a couple of friends. And on the way, I got very, very sick. And I had taken injections supposedly to protect me and had my pills to protect me, but I ended up with a lot of bleeding from my gut and all kinds of dire, gruesome things that I will not go into, and was very, very sick, nearly died, and ended up the following year seeing 10 different doctors. I ended up in the Hospital of Tropical Diseases in London, and they couldn't help me. And I sort of felt rather hopeless until somebody said, why don't you try acupuncture? Because I was just getting worse and worse. The painkillers were not working. And I was told by one of the doctors, actually the Queen's specialist, who was helping me in the Hospital of Tropical Diseases, I said, I'm in pain all the time, and the painkillers send me to sleep. And he said, you've got holes in your gut. You have to live with it. And I said, I feel like a vegetable. And he said, you know, sorry, nothing we can do. And since I am a fighter, I decided that I was going to heal that and started getting acupuncture sessions. In fact, my story is a couple of articles. One is, and they're both on our website, which is www.meridianholistic.com, and called Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, and Environmental Illness, and the other was in Alternative Medicine Digest. And since then, those articles were written in, I think, 1995, and we have worked with people from all over the world. And guess what their number one cause has been? They've had all kinds of issues, and their number one cause has been, can you guess? That's right, their digestion. So we're going to encourage you, offer you, invite you to look at the website if you have access to the computer, and we have a little cartoon at the top.
First, Susan, can I tell people how to find the page? If you are on the instantteleseminar.com event ID page, the event ID is 163200, where it says welcome to the Ancient Chinese Digestion Conference, then please go to the bottom right, and there's a link there. It says Digestive Health Photos. Digestive Health Photos on the bottom right, which is below the different Flash Players, Windows Media Player, Pop-Up Player. Just click on Digestive Health Photos, and you will be taken to the page on the site. And if for some reason you're not on that page, the URL is www.meridianholistic.com/digestivehealthphotos.html. I will spell that out, www.meridianholistic is spelled meridianholistic.com/digestivehealthphotos.html. That's meridianholistic.com/digestivehealthphotos.html. And we're now going to picture number one. Susan?
Okay, picture number one. This may look funny. Is this stool taken? It may be a little gross. We found this picture at in the laboratory, as you say in America, of our top parasitologist. His name is Dr. Omar Amin, and his lab was in Tempe, is in Tempe, Arizona. And he had this up on his wall. And it is funny, and in Chinese medicine, the ancient doctors, they considered that examining the stool and the urine was a very important part of their diagnosis. And if the digestion was off, that would give them very important clues as to what was going on with an individual when they were sick. So we consider the stool and the digestion as, you know, another reason that we consider it very important. And Julian is going to go into some of the problems that come up. If you scroll down to the next picture, you know, another kind of cartoon, you know, a little kid with an itchy bottom, you know, a mom might think that's cute, but in our language, Chinese medicine, that gives us clues as to a whole host of things that could be going on with that little boy.
The gut in Chinese medical concepts, some of you may have heard of something called the five element system. And for those of you that have, you're going to have to bear with me with this brief description of how the Chinese arrange the organs and their relationship with each other. But classically, the five elements are fire, earth, metal, water, wood, and they're arranged in a pentagram, and one feeds the other. Fire feeds earth because volcanic activity creates topography, metal is mined out of the earth, and water will be found on metal if you leave it out overnight, and water feeds wood, and wood feeds fire. And the organs of the body are categorized as either fire, metal, water, earth, wood. And typically, as I said, they're arranged in a pentagram, but there's another way to arrange the five elements, and this one is far less known, and very few people are familiar with it. And that is where they're arranged in a cross, and the earth element is in the middle, so fire travels down to earth, and then the energy goes from earth out to metal, and then from metal back into earth, and then from earth down into water, and from water back into earth, and from earth out to wood, etc. So the energy travels in a cross, and in the middle of it is the earth, and the main organ in the earth element is the spleen and the stomach, and the spleen is, in the Chinese medical thinking, the dominant organ of the digestive tract, and it utilizes the stomach, small intestine, and large intestine in order to perform its greater function of providing energy and blood to the body. And so the Chinese put in this system the digestive tract at the center of health. And that's even so in Western naturopathy. And if you've never thought about it, in this country, if your great-grandparents went to a doctor, they were seeing a naturopath, not a pharmaceutical doctor. And in those days, the digestive tract was given a lot of importance, as it is in Chinese medicine. That importance arises by the two statements, health begins in the colon, or on the other side of the coin, death begins in the colon. And there's reason for this role that the colon and digestive tract has in so many diseases that we'll get into a little later. But right now, leave it to say that if your digestive system isn't functioning properly, there is a myriad of symptoms and signs and syndromes that can present in the body, virtually anywhere in the body. It doesn't necessarily have to be around your abdomen. It can be difficult thinking, poor memory, poor cerebration, difficult to concentrate. It can be bad sleep. It can be itching skin or any other skin condition. It can be joint problems. The toenail fungus, something that is extremely difficult to treat, that can be associated with bowel health. Joint issues, neurological conditions, asthma, respiratory problems, the list is really long. One that is so often overlooked by physicians in their clinic is anemia because of organisms that have established themselves on the gut wall and are living off of the blood that they are able to get at or by burrowing into the tissue. So the digestive tract really, you know, there's a saying, another saying in Chinese medicine that if the case is too difficult to accurately diagnose or to figure out, just treat the digestive system and the odds are good that the person's going to start getting better.
We're looking at some of the causes, you know, of digestive issues. Julian has listed some symptoms and causes that we find. Bugs, of course, I'm sure everybody's heard about the bugs and parasite issues. That is a big deal. What allows these bugs to actually take hold in the digestion? There are many, many reasons for this. A big one is antibiotics, pesticides, chemicals, and all the things we ingest in our body these days that can kill off the good bacteria, and then the bad bacteria and the bad bugs can take over. Emotions, I'm sure you've heard about emotions causing, in quotes, stomach ulcer, you know, major stress. All these things can weaken the gut, and then the bad bugs can get in. And in Julian talks about, Julian is also a homeopath, you know, we're doctors of oriental medicine, but he's also a homeopath. And he has a great story that Hahnemann, who is the father of homeopathy, talks about in terms of health and parasites.
Hahnemann, who was the originator of homeopathy, he wrote in his famous book, The Organon, that a healthy person is going to have bugs, as Susan calls it, or parasites, in their system. But the difference between someone whose health is vital and robust is that those organisms will not be allowed by the body to actually attach to the organ of the digestive system, the tube, the gut tube, that the body's vitality will segregate them into the center of the tube where they're caught in the flow of material that you've eaten and that is being broken down by the digestive tract, and that they'll be eventually eliminated as waste. So if we have got that sort of fine vitality, we can live in a world full of parasites and other organisms that aren't beneficial to us and survive in a healthy way. Some of the things that that serve as a barrier to these organisms affecting us is the mucosal lining of the gut. And that mucosal lining is, the gut is a permeable organ. It's designed like a filter to allow the nutrients in the food that we've eaten that have been broken down to a sufficiently small size to pass through that filter.
And as Julian's talking, I'm just going to have you, those of you who are on the website, to scroll down, and you'll notice that we've touched on parasites. You can see there's a picture of what parasites look like in the stool. That came from one of the parasite labs. We've covered parasite alert, which is symptoms from parasites and poor digestion. And now I want you to scroll down and look at dysbiosis and leaky gut. That is where Julian is right now.
And this, the mucosal lining of the gut tube has got, like, between the cells, there are these margins, and those margins are actually the little tiny gaps through which completely broken down nutritional elements of the food we've eaten are allowed to pass through the gut, where they go into something called portal circulation and up to the liver for screening. And then from there, it goes into, it serves the metabolism and health of the body. But what occurs is that in our life, in the modern day life of most people, there are things that damage that mucosal lining. And those things are antibiotic therapy. A lot of people in this culture have received antibiotic therapy in their teens for acne. Any hormone therapy, so women that have used the birth control pill or who are using hormone therapy for menopausal issues, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, those are basically painkillers. Silver amalgam in dental fillings, silver amalgam fillings are reputed to damage this mucosal lining of the gut. Even stress, the chemicals that the body produces when it's under stress, are injurious to this lining of the gut tube. And the way this works is that we have a beneficial organism that lives in our body. Those are the beneficial bacteria that you get by eating a lot of yogurt, or those of you that are taking lactobacillus-type products. Amazingly enough, a healthy digestive tract has got 30 pounds of beneficial bacteria in it, a number that I find completely amazing. And this beneficial bacteria colonizes the wall of the gut and grooms that mucosal tissue. It's beneficial for that mucosal tissue and keeps the margins at the right width between the cells so that the filter doesn't allow larger molecules like uric acid crystals or long protein chains to pass through and put a toxic burden on the body. And from there, you have this whole cascade of potential symptoms that I talked about earlier that can occur anywhere in the body.
So that is Julian speaking about leaky gut syndrome. Another more technical term is intestinal permeability syndrome. And you can imagine when I was 20 and I went to India and had my actual diagnosis was amoebic hepatitis, where the amoeba or the parasites had eaten their way through the walls of my intestines. And so those holes in the intestines, all kinds of things were going through, and I became allergic to 70% of all food, was unable to eat food, and was in a big mess. I mean, as you can imagine right now, I am vital and healthy again, and it took a long journey to understand why I was so sick. I was getting every symptom under the sun and unable to function. And now I understand why I was and what I had to do to heal. So we're talking about bugs, we're talking about the digestive tract, and we've got a few myths that we wanted to bring up for you, because these are issues that are brought, spoken about a lot, you know, and a lot of the solutions for digestion, we just want you to be aware of that there may be other ways. And the first myth is supplements, and I can hear a lot of probably question marks going on here of supplements, but they help me. And truthfully, if you're not digesting well and you're given a ton of supplements, one, they will just go straight through you. And two, they can actually confuse your body. So you're wasting your money and your body has to work too hard to process. There's another myth that we're going to be touching probably in our next class, but we just want to mention it. And this is, again, your diet. In Western medicine or Western holistic coaching, often it's, well, you have to eat the right diet. That's why you've got digestive problems. And again, in Chinese medicine, everybody requires different foods that's specifically for them. And so in the next class, we're actually going to have a quiz up, and it's called Are You Yin or Are You Yang? To help you determine what kind of body type you are in a very, very simple way, and so that that will steer you towards the right foods. Because if you're too cold, you do not want to add a bunch of cold foods into your system. If you're too hot, you don't want to add a bunch of hot foods into your system, because that's going to create even more fire. So that's another myth, that there is one type of diet that fits all. Raw food isn't good for everybody. Hot foods isn't good for everyone. You're all unique. Another myth, some of the doctors that we know, in fact, I used to refer people to a doctor to do mammograms or check in Chinese medicine for mammograms, you know, if they had lumps. And he would say you shouldn't put people on digestive stuff or parasite herbs if you don't have a diagnosis. And again, often the labs don't actually pick up this stuff because they don't have the correct tests to pick it up, or it's underneath the radar. So we actually have a letter which we will put up on the next class, which came from Dr. Amin, our parasitologist. And it says that actually, often, you need 12 tests in order to be accurate. 12 stool tests, that is. And that came because I sent him somebody, this was many years ago, who'd come to me, and he'd been working in Tibet. He'd been very sick with amoebic dysentery in Africa. He had lived in China. He traveled all over the Far East, and his symptoms were very clearly digestive-related. But the lab didn't find one single issue with him. So as Chinese medical doctors, we know that we have to pay a lot of attention to the signs and symptoms, because sometimes you can do a lot of tests and nothing shows up. Another myth is that we, living in the USA, and I know there are callers from all over, but those of us living in the USA think that we live in a clean, sanitary country. Is that right?
I'm sure everyone thinks so.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of us do. But did you know that LA, which is where we are based, we could call a third world city. Were you aware of that, Rufina?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, I would find that hard to believe. But in many ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me why.
Well, I'm going to hand you over to Julian. He's got some gory stories here.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend, Dr. Amin, he's an Egyptian, and he was part of the team that originally discovered Lyme's disease. So he's a really well-established and highly regarded parasitologist and microbiologist. But he did an informal study where he took fingernail scrapings mm-hmm. from underneath the fingernails of restaurant workers in several of Los Angeles's finest and most high-end restaurants, and found that like 70% of those scrapings were positive for fecal material.
Ew.
You know, the question I ask people is, when was the last time you had a fingernail brush in the bathroom by the soap? Or when was the last time when you went to a friend's house and used the guest room, the powder room, you saw a fingernail brush? It's just something that we haven't been taught to do. And the fact is that there are all sorts of opportunistic organisms out there hanging out on doorknobs and light switches and escalator banisters that are just waiting for a host to arrive. And, we're thinking of Los Angeles as a third world city. I think we can actually think of the whole country as a third world country because of the amount of immigration we have here,
mm-hmm.
the number of people that travel mm-hmm. and bring what, you know, honestly are kind of exotic eating habits and foods and cuisines. And so our own sort of possible place for infection is the salad bar. The other one is sushi. Now, the more expensive sushi restaurants, one of the reasons they are more expensive is because they're going to be more vigilant about cutting away material from what they're serving that might contain any fish parasites. But the cheaper ones, the all-you-can-eat style sushi places, they aren't going to be vigilant about that. And there's an opportunity there to get a parasite from food.
Mm.
And the whole thing with parasites is that they get into the bowel and they establish themselves in the lining, that mucosal lining again, and they set up their little colony and they start eating the food we're eating. And then as they get more and more established, they burrow into the tissue and they find a little blood supply. They start eating the blood. And then, of course, they're creating their own waste material, and that can cause all sorts of other problems for a person. So parasites are kind of a fact of life, and the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta has said publicly that the majority of Americans carry them. But how do you know that you've got them or not? That's pretty hard to tell. You can tell basically from a practitioner, say like a Chinese medical doctor, who, you know, asks about the stool. Most doctors don't go into a lot of detail about that. Asks about bowel habits. Asks about dietary cravings. A common sign of parasitism is that you desire some kind of food. I know when I was working in China for an extended period of time, I had a huge appetite for peanut brittle, and I don't normally have a big sweet tooth, but I was eating a quarter pound of peanut brittle a day. Wow. Had this terrible craving, and I couldn't go without it. And then I eventually passed a worm that was as it was a big one. It was about 10 inches long and about as thick as a pen, or say my little finger.
Well, now, would that worm have left eggs in you?
Fortunately, I don't think so, because this is a roundworm, a scarus worm, and it was pretty scary, and not a tapeworm, I'm glad to say, and it looked like a big, pale earthworm. And what they do is they, in China, they use night soil as fertilizer, so that's human fecal and urine material on the fields. And so parasites are really common in China, and I and my doctor buddies were there, and we got really crazy for not having any raw foods. So what we decided to do is buy food from the market, peel it, soak it in Clorox, water with bleach in it. We figured that would protect us. Well, it didn't work. And the thing with this particular type of parasite is if you get a male and a female, you got a problem. Because then they start breeding, and that can actually, they can breed to such an extent that they can cause a bowel obstruction, and that becomes a really critical life or death surgical intervention required situation. And if they don't have a mate, they leave to go find one in the outside world.
Oh, I see. So yours left.
Now, yeah, and that's something called a protozoa. And those things are more commonly seen in the third world. But if we travel, we get exposed. And that's my point. And when it comes to a stool culture, which is commonly done, you know, that's like, say, the amount, what goes to the lab is maybe a teaspoon or a tablespoon of material. Doesn't necessarily have any of the little bugs, the little single-cell organisms, or any of the eggs in it to be detected. On our website, you can see the photograph of the I forgot what kind of organism that is, but you can see the amount of space around it. Those larger objects in that photograph are the bugs in photo number 3, and those are, you know, floating in a sea of liquid. So Dr. Mean said that in order to begin to have a conclusive stool culture test that's negative is you have to run 12 tests, and I think that isn't even conclusive.
Yes, I once had about 6 tests done at the university.
You had 6 tests?
Yes.
Yes.
And this was at a research facility, and the doctor there was so enraged at me. He said, "We have done this test over and over, and the lab technician is one of the best in the country, and he found nothing alive. There's nothing wrong with your gut." And sent me off. Well, of course, I still had parasites.
Of course. And Dr. Amin, one of the reasons we, you know, have used him a lot is because if he thinks something is wrong, he will search and search and search. And as he said, he was here teaching with us about 7 years ago in L.A. And I'll never forget, he said, you know, in L.A., everybody loves sushi and everybody has pets. And,
yes.
And pets, you know, go and eat, you know, sniff each other's stool and lick it and eat it, and then they lick us and they kiss us. So there's all kinds of ways that this comes back to haunt us, I would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not telling you this stuff to make you freaked out and say, you know, you've got to live in this sterile container. What we're saying is there are problems. A lot of you who've been calling us and are on the call do have problems. And there are solutions, and what we want to support you is that, you know, when you are healthy and have a good, strong life force, we can actually live in harmony with the bugs. They don't actually, they can't invade us when we're strong. Okay, so we're going to move on to just some you know, just a little bit of how to diagnose this. And we have a lot to cover today. I know we're doing, you know, some more classes, but in this particular one, we've still got a lot to cover. So diagnostics, I'm going to hand you back to Julian.
Chinese diagnostics are pretty simple. You know, Chinese medicine evolved in a time long, 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 long time before modern diagnostic mechanisms were invented.